it's an American program, and a little bit of background is that a little girl is meeting her dad for the first time, and the dad doesn't know whether the daughter knows who he is. Okay, hopefully that's enough background, and I'll just try and play this for you in a moment. Bear with me.
I found that stuffed in the side of her bag. I figured you'd seen it before.
Emma?
Yeah, that's right, Tali.
Emma.
What does that mean,
Emma? Hebrew. It means mother, mom.
Huh? Abba.
Tali, what did you say?
Emma. Abba.
Abba?
Daddy.
Zima must have told her. She knows me. That's right, Dolly.
I've never heard a child say Abba. I've heard many adults say it in church, but I've never heard a child say Abba. And when I saw that in the program, it quite, it kind of moved me, actually. This morning, I just want to look at the verse found in John 14, verse 8, where Philip said, "Show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." See, in the context, some powerful verses that just come before them. Jesus has told them that he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's told them that he's going back to the Father. And Jesus is giving his final discourse to his disciples in the upper room. And it would be this very interesting evening, this tragic evening, that Judas would betray Jesus and would be arrested. And Jesus is teaching the disciples about the coming of the Holy Spirit, who will guide them after he has gone. And Jesus is explaining that he is leaving. And Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough." And Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen the Father has seen me. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" And I want us just to ponder for a short while this morning on this question: how well do you know Father God? How well do we know Father God? It's one thing to know of God. It's one thing to know of his teachings. But how well do we know Father God? I said earlier, we might know who our dad is, but how well do we, or did we, know our earthly father? But more importantly, the question is this morning, how well do we know Father God? One commentator has said his plea, that's Philip's plea, "Show us the Father," articulates the longing of the heart of humanity across all ages to see and to know our living God. Exodus 33, Moses kind of prays something similar, but he doesn't use the word name. Exodus 33 in verse 15 says this: "How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you. and I know you by name. Then Moses asked, or then Moses said, now show me your glory. Now show me your glory. Philip is asking something similar, but he puts in there, I want to see you, Father. I want to know God. To know God's glory, to know God, is to know him as our loving Heavenly Father. Remember, going on just a little while after the crucifixion and the resurrection, and all the disciples and others have seen Jesus except Thomas. And so the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, that's Thomas, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. Quite often people ask the question, is there a God? And if there's a God, does God care? And sometimes even us as Christians, the enemy can shoot that thought across our minds. Does God really care that I'm in this situation? And the enemy can put these thoughts in. Well, if God cares, why are you feeling this? Why are you hurting? Why are you in these circumstances? Philip prayed, show us the Father. Some children see their dad every day. Some children see their dad maybe once a week and every other weekend or some other prearranged time. Some children never see their earthly father. And some children sadly don't even know who their dad is. As I just mentioned, I knew who my dad was. Never doubted that my dad was my dad. But how well did I know my dad? I was chatting with a friend yesterday and we were talking a little about Father's Day, and I said to him, you know, there are some questions I wish I'd asked my dad before he died. And then as I thought about that, I was thinking, I wonder how he would have answered some of the questions I would have wanted to ask. It was a different generation then, and then the role of fatherhood was slightly different in some ways. And certainly the communication between father and child when I was growing up was different to the conversations I would have with my children and still have with my children. What about those questions we want to ask the Father? What about those questions we want to bring to God? Sometimes we feel that we shouldn't question God, or we shouldn't have those types of questions. But again, if you go back to the Old Testament, and particularly the prophet of Habakkuk, he has a number of questions that he brings out to God because he wanted to wrestle with what was happening in the world and in his own life. And he wanted to know God. You know, when you go to particularly secondary school, you're taught to ask questions because that's how you learn. That's how you get to know. And so we bring our questions to God so that he can answer us and help us to understand him and to know him as our Heavenly Father. How well do we know our dad? Well enough, as Viv prayed, to call him Abba, Daddy. That little girl who recognized her dad, Abba, Daddy. The spirit you receive, Paul tells us, does not make you slaves so that you will live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. Again, in Galatians, because you are his sons and daughters, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. That trust, that security, the lighting up of the eyes, the joy in the heart when that word Abba, the message puts it this way. But when the time arrived that was set by God the Father, God sent his Son, born among us of a woman, born under the conditions of the law, that he might redeem those of us who had been kidnapped by the law. Thus we have been set free to experience our rightful heritage. You can tell for sure that you are now fully adopted as his own children, because God sent the Spirit of his Son into our lives, crying out, Papa, Father. Doesn't that privilege of intimate conversation with God make it plain that you are not a slave, but a child? And if you are a child, you are also an heir with complete access to the inheritance. Doesn't that privilege of intimate conversation with God? Probably because of the generation I grew up with, I never had an intimate conversation with my earthly father. He taught me things and he loved me. I'm in no doubt of that. And we played with cars together and he showed me how to change the brakes and do various jobs and different things, which I'm always thankful for. But I never, ever had an intimate conversation with my earthly father. But I praise God that I'm able to have intimate conversations with my heavenly father. How well do we know our Father? What is the level of our conversation with our Papa, with our Abba, with our Heavenly Father? What is the level? What is the intimacy of our conversation with our God? The Holy Spirit moves the Christian to cry out, Abba, Father. Abba is an Aramaic word for father, and it's a term of endearment. And the Christian could not make this cry without the Holy Spirit. This is evident that the Spirit indwells us. We know that he indwells us because we are genuine sons and daughters of the living God and cry out to our Father. One writer said this: my father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it. My father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it. The Word became incarnate. God doesn't just shout out commandments from the lofty heavens or the high mountains and give us a set of rules that we must follow or else. Our Heavenly Father sent his Son Jesus, who lived among us, who was tempted in every way as we are, faced all the temptations that we will ever face, but was without sin. He lived, and the Spirit helps us watch him and in that sense mimic his lifestyle, mimic his words, mimic his heart. Paul tells us, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And when we read through the Gospels, we are seeing God incarnate, living amongst us, showing us how to live, how to be good dads, how to be good mums, how to be good sons, how to be good daughters. My father didn't just tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it. And our children watch us and they mimic us and they copy us. And we need as dads to be set in that godly image in our own home, as we know Dad, Heavenly Father, as Abba. One other person said, my father gave me the greatest gift anyone could ever give another person. He believed in me. He believed in me. I want to tell you and remind you this morning, God believes in you as his son and as his precious daughter. God believes in you. Now, it's one thing for us to believe in God, but we need to accept the fact that God believes in you. Warts and all, whatever mistakes we may or may not have made, God believes in you because you are his precious son and you are his precious daughter. God believes in you. I'm just going to finish this morning with this one other quote, which again spoke to me quite powerfully. And it says this, by a man by the name of Frederick Douglass. He was an American social reformer and a writer and a statesman. And he did a lot for the freedom of slaves. This was way back in 1817 to 1895 when he lived. He spoke up against what was happening at those times. And he said this, "It is easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. It is easier to build strong children than to repair broken men." I want to tell you, there's a lot of broken men in the UK. There's a lot of broken men in our prisons. There are a lot of broken men that are homeless or addicted to something. There are a lot of broken men who are holding jobs down and trying to run family life, but inside they are broken because they've never known fatherhood. They're broken. But we have a father that can not only build strong children, but he can renew broken men. Taking the word repair out, our Heavenly Father can build strong children and can renew broken men, that they cry out, "Abba, Father." Philip said, "Show us the Father." The Father has been shown through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And each of us this day can cry out, "Abba, Father." And for all the broken men in the UK, we pray that they will be made anew by the love of Jesus Christ, by coming to that place where they can cry, "Abba, Father." Let's just pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we can say, "Abba, Daddy, Papa." Father, we thank you that we can bring our questions, we can bring our doubts, we can bring our fears. And again this morning, on this Father's Day, we pray for the men of our nation, for those who are broken. Oh, Father, that you will heal the men of our nation. Father, we pray for the men in the church, that they will be men in the church and they will be godly examples. And as we say, "Abba, Father," all the things that we struggle about, all the things that we wrestle with as men, we will bring them to you as our Heavenly Father, and you are wisdom and you are love and you are compassion. We'll minister deep into the fears and to the questions that we have as men. And Father, we don't leave our women out, but just on this Father's Day, again, we just plead for the men of our nation, that they will turn to you, will find salvation. To all the fatherless, we pray, God, that they will come to know you as Father. For those dads who walked away from their partners, from their wives, from their children, will turn to you. And even at this late stage, will start to be a proper dad to their children. And so we ask these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.